This one particular voice will inform you also of kingly concerning Maryland. Isaiah chapter 35. Glorious and merciful God, the Lord Jesus, praise you. So become glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and bloom as a rose. It shall bloom abundantly. Rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency will someday look upward. I'll break again what the word excellency means. I'll give you a clue out of the essence of fragrance of God. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen you the weak hand, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Then shall the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, primarily verse 7. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of the dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the fools shall not enter therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy, gladness, sorrow, and crying shall flee away. And then about 4 o'clock this morning, and I forgive whoever prayed that I would hear from the Lord. You could have at least not set the time at 4. But if I don't forgive you, then I'm in trouble. So whoever prayed for me to get a word, next time be more specific. Over in Leviticus 27, yesterday, Pastor Marion took me to the building, the property that you're believing God for. We prayed over the building, and I do what some people think crazy, but I'm not going to pick up a rock. I made sure I took pictures of the building. I'm a visual person, and I really find myself praying more intently when I can vision something. I took this rock so that I am where my special place of prayer and stay in agreement believing God for what it is you're believing God. For that 4:30 this morning, or 4, I guess it was. Leviticus 27:14. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest shall estimate it, so shall it be. Are you priests and teachers? Have you estimated this facility? I mean, have you gone before, looked at it, saw the vision come to pass? You estimated it. And the Word of God said, because the priest estimated it, whether it's good or bad, and we know that it's good. Therefore, as the priest shall say, estimate, what a value, so shall it stand. I'm standing with you. The Spirit of God said, and I know that we all hear for the new year different parts of you know, the totality of what God is saying. But also around 4 o'clock, the Spirit of God said to share that the year 2016 shall be your season of rain. Of rain. Zechariah 10:1 asking for rain in the letter. In the letter. There are a lot on these scriptures. For a season of rain, well, we know that it comes moderately, it comes thin. We know when we go to our in Hosea, which I'm not going to go to. Do I know the fullness of what that means? No, but when the Lord had me go back to look at Isaiah, where it says that the parched ground would become fruitful once again. So I speak that as my portion of what I'm hearing God say concerning Maranatha for the year 2016. Your season of harvest or of rain. Pray about it. Thank you, Lord God. Because of time, well, come on, look over in Genesis chapter 1, real quick. Verse 11 and 12, and God says, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after some time, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass. Underline, mark, whatever. The earth yielding seed after its time, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its time. Words are seeds, seeds are sown, sown seeds become action, action becomes character. I might have said this, I do this well. When God touches, He possesses. When God possesses, He preserves. when God preserves, He prepares. You have an incorruptible seed inside of you. And God says that it will be fruitful, that no longer will the ground be dry because of the rain. Because of the rain. Now, you're going to have to go through the Lord and see what all that means. But you have within you the seed that bears and brings forth fruit after its own kind. And you have the seed within you. You have that seed that continues to flourish. Look over, please, in the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to call it.
I think I can find that one. And because I've got stuff going all over the place.
Hopefully, the Spirit of God will bring forth, or now be able to bring forth, what I believe the Spirit is going to say. And so often, we are asking and wondering why our vision carries, meaning your dreams, your plans, the purposes of God. There are some people that are getting weary. Some people that are saying, God, when will this ever come to pass? God, did I miss you? And have become burdened down because it has not yet come to pass. But over in Habakkuk, there are seven things actually, concerning a vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk makes his statement, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and wait to watch to see what he will say unto me and where I shall answer when I am reproved. The correct word there is correct. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make a plain upon the tablet, that he may learn that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come to pass. It will not know. We need to find ourselves in the kingdom of God, of position. Our position as the kingdom of God. These are the points that the Spirit of God had me to bring right down. There are seven things that Habakkuk did. Number one, which all of them take action. Number one, Habakkuk made a decision. I will stand. I will stand, which is an action. This is short. I will stand. It says, where? Upon my watch. The watch there means season. Season. I will stand upon my season. And will set me upon a tower. See where there is power. Because we know that the word of the Lord helps. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto it and is safe. So he made sure that he put action into the tour God spoke. He said, I'm going to stand. I'm going to be fixed focused. And it's going to be upon my watch. My sheep. My sheep. And I will set me upon a tower, and again for us, the tower is that of the name of God, the high tower. And I will, he goes on to say, and I will watch to see. Watch, watch. And he will say unto me, oh, yeah, will watch to see. When you're there in your season, when you're there on the tower, when you're there during the time of the watch, which is the plan and purpose of the day, God says, are you willing to stand and to watch? But notice, Habakkuk goes on to say, what I shall answer. He's contemplating. He is meditating. He's there upon his watch or season. He stands, he's fixed focus, he's waiting, and he makes a promise, I will answer when I am reproved, or correct. Are we willing to make adjustments in our life? Are we willing that when you say, God, when is it going to come? What happened? Did I miss you? Was that prophecy wrong? When I read it in the Bible and it became light to me, did I miss it? And there are many people who are weary, wondering. But Habakkuk said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand and I'm going to watch. I'm going to set myself on the high tower. I'm going to watch to see what will say, and if it means correction, if it means adjustment, this is what I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for it. In verse 2, the Lord answered him and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the table, that he may run that reading. Or they'll put down their, on a board or whatever, position. That's fine. That's fine. But that's not what this is speaking. The Word of God tells us in Ezra time, Psalm 45:1, our tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. Our tongue, according to John 8:6, becomes the finger of God. Write the vision. So that whosoever shall run by has no choice but to see. That's why I put it up. But if we are the sons of God, if we are born again, filled with the Spirit, then we have a seed inside of you that will reproduce after its own what we need to look at here as a New Testament church, an end time church, a remnant church, is where do we write this faith? It tells us, I believe it's on 2 Corinthians somewhere, to write it on the tablet of your heart. But I'm going to say something further on that. I believe what God is saying there to the New Testament church, again, the end time church, the remnant, whatever you want to call it. Where is it that you write the vision? If it says to us that whoever runs by has no choice, I charge you that when you speak the vision, see yourself in the position of where Jesus says, I made you to sit beside me in heavenly places. When you make a declaration and you begin to pray in the Spirit, you are writing up your vision, your plan, your destiny, your dream in the realm of the heavenly. In the realm of the heavenly. And over a book at the Lord God is terrible with me. So that whoever runs by look over real quick. I look at my book. Over in Ephesians chapter 3. You write it upon the tablet of your heart, but you've got to make a declaration. Ephesians 3. Is that what I want for you? No. Give me a second. And make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Hid in God. Who lives inside of you? Who lives inside of you? Whose seed is inside you? That seed must produce the fruit of the original seed. And we know that seed becomes the seed. When you decree and declare what it is you believe in God, verse 10 says, that which has been hidden in God to the intent or purpose that now unto the principalities, powers, and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I decree and declare to you that you take your vision, you want to write it on the wall of God, but you write it in the realm of the Spirit, in the heavenly, where it is you are seated, so that every Satan himself and every demon and devil in hell has no choice. But every time they try to do anything, they've got to run and they will see what it is you decreed and what it is you see. So you write it by the finger of God, which is your tongue, in the heavens, again, so that Satan, any demon, devil, lying symptom, lying going to do this to them.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. They're believing God. Oh my God. They're standing. Oh my God. They're standing in faith. Oh my God. They're not getting carried. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. No. They're getting strength. Don't they read what's happening? Oh no. Oh my God. It says here that they're reading their Bible. They know what's going to happen. They know what the destiny is. They know that God says in Philippians 1:6 again, be confident of this very thing, that the good work that God has begun in you will continue until the coming of Jesus Christ. Oh no! And the principalities and powers have no right against me. It's written for them. So make sure your declaration. Take it. Write it with the finger of God. And don't worry. In Habakkuk, in verse 3, for the vision is yet for the fourth time, for the title. The sixth time. And at the end, it shall speak. It shall speak. It will not lie. And we know that the Word of God tells us over in Numbers that God cannot lie. So what He's spoken to you, it might seem like it's not yet coming to pass. But because you have an incorruptible seed inside of you, whether you can see the fullness of it or not, it is growing. And it is producing after its own kind, which means after Jesus. And we know that Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has no choice. No choice. But to say thought of you to have good. There's no choice. He has to. That the plans and the destiny that He has for you, before there was time, like time we know, it was fulfilled. Your destiny, we start at the beginning and we are going. But I say that you're already at the finish. I'm looking and I'm seeing everything that God has spoken to me. Yes, it's a process of that seed growing. I understand that. But it will not carry. It has an appointed time. Where are you standing? You're standing on your watch. You're standing on your season. And you're waiting for God to speak. And He says, listen, it has to come to pass. It has to. Look over in, just for the next time, 2 Kings. A familiar passage in chapter 4. And again, we'll just go quickly. Second Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. And it fell on the third, or on the day that Elisha passed the Jordan, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, be turned in to eat bread. When is the last time you prayed the Holy Spirit? When is the last time that you constrained, took hold of the Holy Spirit? You are a great woman. She says, listen, man of God, I want you to eat bread with me. And I ask you, when is it the last time you constrained the Holy Spirit to eat bread with you? And we know that God's word says that, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but proceeded, which is the process of word, by the word of God. When is that the last time you have constrained and said, Holy Ghost, bring forth revelation? He is the Spirit of revelation. He is the one of hope, of comfort. You know the Holy Ghost, and he teaches you about Jesus, and Jesus teaches you about God. So I ask you, and only you can make that honest portion. We know that it goes on, and he's so grateful that she's named him upon his name. So he said, what can I do to thank you? I mean, I can go to the captain, I can go to the king, I can go to whomever. And she says, no. I'm going to stay with my own kind. I'm going to stay with my own kind. Watch who you pull until you're good. Watch what you pull until you're good. Check it out. If there's ever a time that we need a discernment, we need discernment today, greater than ever before. Constrain the Holy Ghost and say, come, give me bread, eat bread with me, revelation, insight, wisdom, let me get a hold with you. We know that the prophet spoken to Haggai says, hey, she didn't have any children. She's old. Her husband's old. And I imagine he was assuming she wanted a child. It doesn't help. So he says, bring her over. Bring her over. And he has asked this question. And he goes on to say to her, verse 16, and he said, about this season, are you on your watch? Are you on your tower of season? Are you watching to see what it is that God is saying to you? Are you willing, if God says to you, listen, you need to make some adjustments in your life? Are you willing? He said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace the sun. And she said, no man, or no my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. the vision that God's given you, the plan, the purpose, what it is that you know your purpose for being here for such a time as this. God says that your season of rain, of harvest, is ahead. He said, listen, don't fool around with me. I mean, don't lie to me. And for her to say to us that when the child was 12 years old, he's out there working with his father, 12, who knows an average child's number. And it happened, I guess, what we would call sunstroke. Brings the child back to the mother. The mother holds the child in her lap. And all of a sudden, the plan, the purpose, the destiny, what it is, the vision God has given you, cannot die. It cannot die. God is not a man that he survives. If he has put that seed in you, that seed is in a process of developing. Just like when a woman and man conceive a child, that next morning, night, noon, whatever, he doesn't look pregnant. And people might have known for a long time he wanted a child, but hey, it's too late, you're too old. In my own life, when John and I conceived our son, both John and I are physically incapable of having children. I cannot tell you how many different surgeries I've had concerning fertility, my husband did. And I went before God, and I was specifically said, I want a male child. After 5 years of doctors and tests, the following month, I got pregnant. But I didn't look it. I didn't look it. I didn't start wearing maternity clothes until my 7th month. So when I said to someone I'm pregnant, they looked at me and they said, the process was growing. And then, in the 8th month, I started to show. So there were a few more people that said, hey, you really are. I mean, you really are. Your vision, your plan, your focus has destiny, and it will come forth. Why? Because it has been conceived by the Spirit of God when you said yes to Jesus. That incorruptible seed that must bear fruit after its own time, God says it must produce. It will be there. What did she do? She took that promise of God, which was dead in the natural. She goes up to the prophet's place and lays the child down and shuts the door. What I'm saying to you is the plan, the purpose, the destiny, the vision, whatever it is you have from God, cannot die. It cannot die. she went back to the place of the anointing. What did she do? She slammed the door. What does that mean? God, you said it. Now, this is your problem. This is your problem, not mine. I have brought it back to you. You told me. You showed me. You prophesied. I read it. I had a dream. I had whatever. And it might look like hell is stopping it. But hell must read that plan, that purpose, that destiny. Every time. So she went back and she put the child, she planned it. The door. It's God who will fulfill what He has decreed and declared. She goes after Him. It says she went speedily. She didn't stop. She didn't say hello. She didn't say goodbye. She had a fixed purpose. I am going back to what it is that was said to me by the prophet. What is it that God has said to you? Hillary is dead. Then bring it back to the place of the anointing and slam the door. God, this is your problem. Elisha looks at Jesus and says, hey, there's that lady. Go find out. Is it right or not? Is it right? And she just says, it is well. It is well. It is well. It is well. She gets to the man of God, or back to the anointing. He takes hold of it. Again, when is it the last time you constrained God? He takes hold of him. And it says to us that when, verse 27, and when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. The servant tried to stop him, but Elisha said, no, there's something wrong. Something wrong. There's something that has been hidden from me. When we look at a scripture where it says that things are hid in the heart of God, but He has given them to us today as a manifold so that we can decree and declare to the heavenly and to people of like faith or more what it means. There's someone who's going to say it's going to never come to pass. There's someone who knows, bless God, I'm standing with you. Bless God, yes, it will come. He sends his servant with his staff, and nothing happens. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for someone else to bring forth that developing seed within you. Listen, man of God, you're going to sleep. You're going to sleep. And we know that he goes and he goes to the child or where the child is. And verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went therein and shut the door upon them both. And he prayed unto the Lord. When it's the last time you have restrained and prayed what God has spoken to you, you might not feel like your prayer would be incorruptible. He did five things that when your vision carries, I say you when it seems like it will never come to pass, I'm going to share five things that are like you, that you who have the Spirit of God in you. Shut the door. All right, this is between you and God. Here we go. Here we go. And it says that he went up and he lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hand upon his hand, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child was waxed warm. But it was not cold. It was not cold. So he went, he started walking back and forth, back and forth, and it goes back and then stretches himself again upon the vision, the promise of God. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened. What did he do? He stretched himself upon that vision. He put his eyes on the eye. What is it you're seeing? What is it you're seeing? It might look dead. It might look delayed. But he put his eyes on the eye. What is it that you see? If you know and have a relationship with God, then you see that which is good and perfect for you. Are there times we're going to see that character changes need to be made? Yes. When he put his eyes, and then he put his mouth on his mouth. What does that mean for us? What are you decreeing and declaring? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking the word of God? Mouth to mouth. Father, you said, you told me, I am going to have a fixed focus because it doesn't look like what you said. It looks dead. Yes, he put his eyes upon his eyes. Nothing to move by what I see. Talent? Sure. Sure. Doubt? Definitely. It's happened. But when I make sure those days come, that I will constrain the Holy Ghost even more. Give me the word. Then it says he put his hand on the hand. Where's the secret hiding power of God? In his hand. focus, seeing his mercy, the love, decreeing the word of God, decreeing the word of God, the hands, they're still praising God. They're still praising God. I'll lift up both hands. It might not look like it's alive yet, but I'll lift up my hands. Because the secret hiding place of God's power is in his hands. What his hand is my hand. It's my hand. And he stretched himself. Stretching over that distance is your activity. The totality of you is upon that which might not look like. But I will stretch myself, which is the action of faith. Every fiber, every cell, every nerve, every ligament, every organ within me, I am stretched in faith. No matter what it is you're going through, when you stretch yourself upon what is an act of faith, the number of perfection, but it's also the number of now, this is the king who might be willing. Don't quit. Something that I did, not saying you, but this is something that I can hold on to every night, my course, I want to move. And I speak forth Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by one voice. And I love that my life is but that scripture has become so real, so manifested, lack of better wording, that I put my hand up in the and I remind Satan and every lying devil and every lying serpent that Jesus has already overcome me. For he dwells within me. Therefore, I am the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. And I start confessing by the stripes of Jesus I live. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No weapons formed against me for the cross. I'm the Lord, I'm not the girl. I'm above the moon, above and not me. And all of the scriptures that I choose, I make that declaration. I begin to pray in the spirit and I say, now Satan, you see it. It's written. You've got to run by it. And control how I want. It might not look like the totality. This is just something valid that's not common. And I remind myself, God isn't lying. Somebody be constant as a good work. And I make this proclamation every day. And I hold up the elements. And the blood of Jesus is upon Clark and Rebecca and Jude and Luke and Layla, and I name other people and myself. I draw a bloodline around my property all the time that that nothing and no thing that cannot confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh can cross over. It cannot. It cannot. So tonight, for you, I bring you encouragement, stirring up your hope, stirring it up, and making a declaration to you that your season of blessing will fulfill.
I believe this year, God's hope is about fulfillment and restoration.
But I say to you, there are none. The year 2016 if you could carry, will be a year of fruition. Will be a year that those things that you have been believing God for, it is your season. The ground will not be parched in your life. The rains will fall. And my thing will have challenges. But the challenge. Your vision, your plan, your purpose, and your destiny take hold of 2016, which will be your season of blessing. Father, we praise you and you glory. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you, Father, for the things that you've done, for the things that you're doing. But we thank you for the things that you're about. We thank you and we praise you, Almighty God, that you recognize that there is a seed within us that must produce after its own time. And that, Father, is your point. Your seed, actually, Colossians, Father, Colossians, tells me that the fullness of the Godhead body, Spirit, dwells within Christ. And verse 10 says that it is in Christ's name. Then you have the fullness of the Godhead body with you. Destroy my family. I make the declaration. I am the matriarch of my family. And hell, pain, situation, circumstance, a circumstance, bow your knee to the name of Jesus. To the name of Jesus. And I, now again, that's my scripture. I am confident that what God has said to me is going to be fulfilled. Every God has said of what God has said. And the same.